My sister used to play, she was learning how to play the violin when we were kids. And she never got past this song. Dun, 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 dun. But our parents were so proud of anything that we did. Every time a relative came over, they'd say, "Annie, pull out your violin and play a song for us." And it was always the same song. Dun, 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 dun. Until I got to the point where I thought that you couldn't do anything else with the violin but play dun, 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 dun. I saw the film, many of you young people probably can't relate to this, but if you ever get a chance, there was a movie out some years ago called Deliverance. And many of us older people, we probably remember that movie. But and I'm not telling you to go watch it, but there was a part in it called the Dueling Banjos. And I know a banjo is not a violin, but there is a type of banjo, a fiddle, that is real close to it. Anyway, they had this scene, and ever since then, I've come to appreciate this instrument called the fiddle. Cheryl and I even go to concerts by an individual that we love who plays the violin and the fiddle, and we're looking forward to going to a concert in December when he comes back from Africa. I forget his name, but he's awesome. Demola is his name. You can look him up on YouTube, but just bit awesome. But I learned something about the fiddle and the violin. I used to think that they were two different instruments when really they're both the same instrument, four strings. The difference is that usually one, the fiddle is played in classical arenas. I'm sorry, the violin is played in classical arenas, and the fiddle is played in more country arenas or bluegrass type things. But there is what's called a first fiddle and then the second fiddle. And there's only one fiddle for first fiddle. And then everybody else that plays the violin is second violin or second fiddle. So what is the difference? The difference is that those who are playing second violin or second fiddle, they follow the first fiddle. In other words, the first violin, the first fiddle is the one who sets the tone, that sets the rhythm, that sets the harmony. Those who are playing second fiddle don't try to outdo the one who is first fiddle. They know their place because the bigger picture is they want to get this harmonious music across to the audience. Can I get a witness? I think there's something for us to learn in terms of being God's people and where we fit in the picture. And for the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, I want to talk about what it means to be a follower and how to be a follower. Because Jesus is the only first fiddle. Look at somebody and tell them, Jesus is the only first fiddle. Jesus is the only first fiddle, which means that if I want to play, I've got to be what? Second fiddle. I can't be first fiddle because that's Jesus's part. This week, I want to talk to you about theory. Next week, we're going to talk about practice, and we're going to be looking at Matthew, the 1st through the 16 through 25 verses in learning to play second fiddle. How do you be a support person? How do you be second on a team? We got some athletes here, and I would imagine, Joe, those brothers play basketball, don't they? I know, because if they gonna hang out with you, then they got to be ball players. And, you know, I played ball too for a long time, and you were always taught as a baller, do your best. You get out there and you hit as many points as you can. You get out there and you keep the opponent down in terms of defense. You get out there and you be the best that you can be. But there is a place in life where it's not about you. Can I get a witness? There is a place in life. We're talking about right here in my relationship with God, who is Jesus Christ, come in the flesh, where I can never be first fiddle. I can never be Michael Jordan. I can never be Steph Curry. I can never be whoever it is that you want to be. And I'm not saying that you should not ascribe to being the best you can be. I'm just simply saying to you that Jesus wants even more than you being the best. He wants you to talk about how he's the best to you. Can I get a witness? So we're going to start with theory this morning. And the person who best comes to my mind is Joseph. When you talk about a second fiddle, you have to remember Joseph is the husband of Mary, and Jesus is born into the house. During this time, the whole culture was very patriarchal. In other words, it was very male-driven. And the father of the household was numero uno. So here comes God into a family where the father will never be first fiddle, will never be the leader of the family, will never be the one that they talk about. Because he's the father, at least the human father, of Jesus. It says in Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He is the only one, hear me, young people, he is the only one who can do this. There's nobody else, regardless of what you can do, no matter what skill you have, no matter what talent you have, no matter what gifts you have, there is only one individual who can save somebody. And so I either have to be reconciled to an understanding that my job as a support cast member is to point to him. If I sing good, my singing better point to him. If I preach good, my preaching better point to him. If my evangelism is good, then my evangelism, my talking, has got to point to him. Why? Because he is forever first fiddle. Can I get a witness? How can I do a better job as a secondary? Not the primary. How can I do a better job at accepting my role as being second fiddle to Jesus Christ? Four principles. Number one, accept my role as a support team player. Nobody does this better than Joseph does in this instance. The scripture says, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. No text would ever talk about the wife being first. Not in this culture. Not at this time. But Joseph is talked about as what? He's the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. In Luke 3:23, it says, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old. He's a little older in this text. When he began his ministry, he was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. In other words, from the very beginning, Joseph had to make the decision that this little baby, even though he is a baby, he is higher than me. He is more important than me. And even though I am the father of this family, I've got to get his name out there. Notice that to be difficult for him, because I have children too. And I want them to listen to me. I don't want them telling me about life. But you see, I'm not the father of God. I'm not the one who is raising God, in a sense. But Joseph, he shows us that I have a role to play. We don't even know what happened to Joseph, because he drops off the scene at the point where Jesus becomes an adult and starts his ministry. We don't even hear about Joseph anymore. But the fact of the matter is that he knew his role, and he was a support team player even within his very family. Listen to me, you all. A church, Living Hope Fellowship, or whatever church you may attend or you are part of, you are a part of a team. This is a team. You see, the whole denomination we call Christian, that is the bigger body, but each of the little pieces, the churches, are all Jesus's team. You may call it Living Hope. You may call it First Baptist. You may call it Holy Spirit Baptist. But the fact of the matter is, every church ought to have the name. This is Jesus's church. This is Jesus's church. The people here belong to Jesus. Esther said it this morning so eloquently. We are possessions of God through Jesus Christ. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us, because we are his jewels. And he wants us for one purpose, and that is to proclaim his name. I don't have to outdo you. You don't have to outdo me. You don't have to be like me. I don't have to be like you, but all of us have to make a harmonious praise to God that Jesus is the only man. You know, sometimes people get confused, and sometimes they think that in our praise, you know, the black people, they do it better than they do us because they got more rhythm, or the Asian people do it more better because, you know, they've got a lot more quietness about how they do. All the white people, they do it better. You know, sometimes we get it mixed up and we present a picture where it is race that is most important. No, we are a holy nation. We are a holy nation. And from every tribe, every group, every people, we are representatives of the first fiddle. And my God has given me the role of pointing to him and not to me. No matter what you think of me, no matter what I think of you, no matter how great you are, he's the only great one in the building. You know, when you look at that, when we come to worship, there's really only one person in here we need to please. You know, if they don't like your singing, too bad. If they don't like the preaching, you know, Gainey, he's too loud. Amen. I hear that all the time. And I'm not going to say that's too bad. We'll try to work on culturally bringing that down a little bit. But the key factor is I accept my role. I accept that I'm a team player and pointing to the one who really matters. Can I get a witness? That's number one. Number two, accept that God's plans are often different than my plans. When you second fiddle, first fiddle might say, we're going to play it like this time. We're going to change the rhythm up. We're going to make the harmony a little bit differently. And I need for you to do what? To follow me. You don't tell me to follow you. because I'm in a different role than you are. I'm first fiddle. You follow me. Look at the harmony of Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us in here are adults, or you are near adult. And you know that if a baby is born or about to be born, it's going to have a mama part and a daddy part. Are you with me? So if somebody was to come here and say, you know what, I'm pregnant, the first thing, you know who the mama is, the next question is going to be what? Who's the daddy? Joseph is saying to himself, wait a minute, I'm in a legal relationship with this young woman right here. We have been pledged by our parents in marriagehood. We've never been intimate. We've never been together. I only been without her for just a few weeks. She went away on the Greyhound bus and she came back now pregnant. How did this happen? Well, the answer, Joseph, is she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. How many of you men in here would take that? Y'all don't hear me. Joseph shows us, I'm not first fiddle. Do y'all hear me? I mean, this is about as difficult a situation as anybody could be in. It was difficult for Mary, because Mary doesn't know how she got pregnant, other than the fact that the Holy Spirit used her as an incubator. She doesn't even contribute anything to the child. She's just an incubator for Jesus. Joseph doesn't contribute anything, but he accepts it. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. I've got to come to accept that sometimes things don't come the way I planned them to be. Is that all right with you? That in your church or in your family or in your life, when you've got everything all planned out and you have everything in the order it's supposed to be, that sometimes you get jolted, sometimes a storm comes, sometimes chaos erupts. Can it be that God is still in control of the chaos? Can it be that God is still in control of the storm? I can honestly say, the biggest times, Nick, I have grown in my life have been through challenges, have been through storms. They have not been through the easy times. They have not been through the smooth times. Most of them have come because God rocked my world. And I'm saying to you that when God rocks your world and the plan doesn't go the way you wanted it to go, or the way you thought it was supposed to go, can you allow God's plan to now be your plan? Am I making sense, Maria? Can you allow God's way to supersede your way? Cheryl and I used to live down in Mill Valley, and close to that area, they ride the waves. They go out on, paddleboard. And they ride those waves on the paddleboard. And I've noticed that some of them are real good. But I've also noticed that all of them at some time or another, they fall. In other words, they meet a wave that is bigger than they are. They meet a wave that they weren't prepared for. They meet a wave that is a challenge for them. But you know what I've never seen before? I've never seen one of those paddleboard riders say, you know what? I'm never getting back on there again. I'm never going to try that again. Well, let me tell you, that was too big for me. That was too hard for me. I've never seen one say, I'm never going to do that again. But you know what I've seen? I've seen them get back on the board and they try it again. I say to you, as we go through the challenges, as Living Hope goes through the challenges of the waves, and sometimes we fall off the board. Sometimes it looks like the wave is so big that it would almost destroy us. Can we say, that was hard, but I'm going to get back on it. And I'm going to ride this wave. Why? Because this is the wave that God put me on. How many of you believe that Living Hope is the place where God puts you? I know you've gone to Brazil, but you're back home now because God put you here. I know you've gone back to China, but God put you here. How many of you can say, I've been in the hospital, I've been sick, but I've come back home because this is where God put me. Can I get a witness? I didn't plan for the sickness. I didn't plan for the tough time. I didn't plan for the challenge. But when God sends it, it's okay. Why? Because he's first fiddle. And I notice sometimes he sends easy stuff. But I also notice sometimes, Cheryl, he sends hard stuff. Can I get a witness? Number three, accept God's purpose for my life. Accept God's purpose. Now, this is a lengthy one right here, but I want you to look at this text. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. That's very important right here. Because righteous means that he has a connection with God, Kelly. Righteous means he's in a relationship with God. And you see, all of us who are in a relationship with God, we've got to learn how to play second fiddle. We've got to learn how to be in a follower role. We've got to learn how to listen to his direction. We have to learn how to tune our ear to what he's saying versus what anybody else is saying. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. In other words, he sees her pregnant. They're not married in the sense of like we know marriage, but they're married in the sense of they are in a engagement. Are you with me? But it was legal. Engagement is not legal today, but engagement was legal then. He sees her pregnant, and so he says, you know what? I don't want to do this. But here's where God says to that. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Don't just take her home. You heard what Nick said. We crawl in the bed together, even if it's a little bit. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have been a lot. But here I am. I've got to bring up God's son. I've got to play second fiddle to God's son. I have to be over somebody who knows more than I do, that is more royal than I could ever think about being. You know, when I was a young father, and you might can identify with this, some of you young fathers in here, I used to come home And I would say to Cheryl and the kids, I'd like to hear from them. Not, I'd say it. They'd say, Daddy's home. Daddy's home. And I love to hear that. Daddy's home. And when I didn't hear it, I would tell it to myself. Hey, y'all, Daddy's home. I learned something, Osamu. If I got to tell folk Daddy's home, then I must not be much of a daddy. It's just better when other people know who you are. It's like if I was to say every Sunday, I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. If you got to tell folk, then maybe you're not. Joseph has come to understand in his role that this is God's work. This is God's doing. I'm not first. I'm going to be a support team player. And my purpose is to follow the will of God. Let me tell you, for all of you that are here, your purpose is not your career. Your purpose is not to be a business person. Your purpose is not to be a doctor. Your purpose is not to be an educator. Your purpose is not to be a preacher. Guess what? You hear all the time people say, were you called to preach? That's nowhere in the Bible. You're not called to a gift. You are called to God. You are called to serve God. And God says, follow me through Jesus Christ. You have an image before you now. You have a person before you now that if you can just accept that that is God, then you will never lose your purpose. You can lose your voice and never preach again. You can lose your skill of being a surgeon and never be able to operate again. You can lose your ability, your finances, and lose your business, but you cannot lose your relationship with God. My purpose is to serve my God who has led me to follow Jesus Christ. And that is above everything and all things. It is before color. It is before culture. It is before politics. It is before all that I am. It is before my marriage. It is before me being a father. It is before everything. My purpose is to serve God through Jesus Christ in this present age. What's your purpose? What's your purpose? You see, if you have any other purpose, it could die. You can lose it, but you can't lose your relationship with God, Jesus. Matter of fact, he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. When Jesus woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. That's some hard stuff right there, isn't it? But you see, when you're a support player to God, you accept. I'm not the one who is in control. I cannot say what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do know that God has got me this far. And if this is where I'm supposed to be, this is where I'm going to be. Am I making sense to you? Now, your situation is probably nowhere near as hard as Joseph is. Can I get a witness? And you're probably sitting there saying, thank you, Jesus. If that was Cheryl and she told me that, I'd say to her, okay, honey, I'm going to kill you first. No, I'm just teasing. I'm saying it would be tough. But here, I learned from Joseph. I've got a higher purpose. I've got a higher purpose. How many of you have got a higher purpose? I've got a higher purpose. And I've got to live that out. Last thing, accept that I'll never be first fiddle. Except that I'll never be first fiddle. But he had no union with her. He takes Mary home as his wife until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him. You said this morning, Esther, that when the father gave the name to the child, it meant that's my possession. But he was given this name to tell who Jesus was, who is this person. This is Jesus, whose name means save. You can't save. I can't save. Hey, hear me, you all. Nobody can save, but who? He's first fiddle. He's first fiddle. Every one of us, we're second fiddle. I'm 10th fiddle. I'm even lower on the program than you are. So all of us have the same job, and that is pointing to first fiddle, who is Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Yeah. It's not about me, and it'll never be about me. So how do I do it? What do I accept? I've got to learn how to play. Don't walk away from here this morning saying, I know how to do this. No, I've got to learn how to do it. How do I learn? I accept my role as a support team player. Can you do that? We're a team. Living Hope is a team. I'm a support team player. I'll never be the main person. I don't care what my title is. I don't care what my position is. Jesus is the only one who counts. Number two. Except that God's plans are often different than my plans. I don't know why God does what he does, but I do know this. In the end, can I get a witness? All things work for the what? For the good. So even if it looks bad, even if it looks challenging, even if it looks difficult, even if it looks hard, all things work for the good. For those that love the Lord. Accept God's purpose for my life. My purpose is to follow Jesus Christ. I am called by God to follow Jesus Christ. Not my color, not my race, not my nationality, not where I come from. Those things are okay, but the most important thing is Jesus. And number four, except that I'll never be first fiddle. I'm just going to be a support player. Learning to play second fiddle. Play the best you can where you can, but only Jesus matters. Can I get a witness? All right, I'm going to ask our music ministers if they would come forward. I'm going to ask, listen to me, because I know we have a lot of young people in the house today. And so I want to make this invitation very plain. Nobody's making you do anything. Nobody's making you do anything. But I will say this. You'll never be able to play on God's team. You'll never be able to play on God's team until you realize who is the big honcho. Can I get a witness? You'll never be able to be a good player on God's team until you decide who's the captain of the team. Who is the one that we're listening to? You'll never be able to play until you decide who's going to be the king of your life. That's what this is about today. That's what this is about right now. Who is first fiddle? Because if God's not first fiddle, guess who is? It's you, which means you're going to lead somebody astray. It means for some of us who are older, we have led somebody astray. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be responsible for leading anybody to any direction other than to Jesus Christ. Let us stand. The doors of the church are open. I'm going to ask if our counselors would come forward. These counselors are here to talk with you about any commitment you would like to make. Won't you come? The doors of the church are open. Jesus' arms are open wide, and he wants to receive you. He wants you to play. He wants you to be on his team. He wants you to give your all. Matter of fact, more than all of that, he wants you to be committed. He wants to be able to count on you. He wants you to show up. How do you feel on your team when you're playing with somebody who shows up sometime? Who's every now and then? No, give me somebody consistent. Give me somebody I can count on. Give me somebody who's going to bring it every game. That's the kind of person God's looking for today. Won't you come?